All right. As I had mentioned, Brother Hawkins is going to come up here, and he is going to teach the Word of God tonight. Is it hot, or is it just me? Is it hot in here? It is roasting up here. I think he sweats a lot because of these lights right up here. I mean, they're throwing out some heat. But all of you all know Brother Hawkins. I mean, Brother Hawkins has been an evangelist for quite a few years, and he goes to different churches. If a church has a need, he will go there, and he doesn't look for money. He goes there because that's what God has called him to do, and the Lord has taken care of him. Brother Hawkins could give you story after story how God provided for him. I remember he was telling me when they had that pacemaker put in and the cost for it, and somebody had paid a tremendous bill for them, paid the whole thing off. And because he's doing the work of the Lord, and God takes care of him and provides for him. And I appreciate Brother Hawkins. I've got to work with him doing a little bit of stuff here and there, and helped him a little bit with a ramp and a little bit of electrical in the basement and a few other things. I appreciate Brother Hawkins, and they are good folks. And you ought to pray for them when they're out of town, when they're traveling. They need our prayers just as much as our preacher does as well. And so, Brother Hawkins, come on up here and go ahead and give us the message.
Amen. Amen. Well, you folks don't know how much of an honor this is that my preacher would trust me enough to stand behind his pulpit. I mean, he come to me about 3 or 4 months ago and asked me to preach. And I said, "You sure you want me to preach?" He said, "Yeah, I'm looking at you. I want you to preach." I said, "Well, yeah, I'll preach." But I used to go around when I was out on the road an awful lot. I'd tell preachers, I'd drop it, preach at the drop of a hat. Preach at the drop of a hat. And I had a preacher one time, I think we was in Charlotte, North Carolina. We were traveling, and we just stopped to go to church. And we stopped at this church, went in, knew some people in there. Then we howdied with them, and he introduced him to the preacher. I had never seen a preacher before in my life. And went down, sat down just about where my wife is there now. I was on the outside aisle, and all I had was my Bible. I didn't have anything with me, anything else, nothing. I didn't have any outlines, nothing with me. And that preacher walked up, and he leaned down right next to me, and he says, "You preaching tonight?" I said, "Who, me?" He said, "Yeah, you preaching tonight." He said, "Lord told me that you're preaching tonight." And I said, "Okay, that's what you want, I'll preach." And I was thinking to myself, I don't have an outline. I don't have anything in this Bible that I've got with me. And I preached that night. And well, it was a morning. I preached. And my wife says it's one of the best sermons I ever preached because I didn't have an outline. I always laughed at that when she told me that. She said, "That was one of the best sermons you ever preached. You just got up there and cut loose." And I said, "Well," I said, "I didn't. The Lord give it to me." But this is an honor to stand into this pulpit and share the Word of God with y'all. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We'll start in verse 2, and we're going to bounce around a little bit in Luke 24. So if you'll just bear with me. This is when Jesus had been crucified, and they had buried him in the tomb. And this was the third day. He had risen. He had risen. And the disciples couldn't understand it. Nobody could understand what happened. They thought the soldiers had sold his body. They thought all kind of things, you know, that what happened to Jesus Christ. But through this chapter here, it'll tell us what happened. Look at verse 2. It says, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, therefore, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Look down to verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them," and talking about two of his disciples, says, "two of them went that same day to a village named Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem not 80 furlongs. And they walked together, and all these things which had happened," and talked about all these things which had happened. "And it came to pass that while they communed with each other and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Turn with me to verse 30. It says, "And as it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" This morning I want to talk to you about, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? How many of you remember when you first got saved? Huh? Nah, everybody's got hands up. There's one or two that didn't. There's one I know about way back here. She didn't raise hers, but we all understand that. Yes, when we first got saved, here it says here that he opened the scriptures. He opened to us the scriptures. Ephesians 3:13. I'll flip back there. Ephesians 3:13. It says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." With the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnestness of the Spirit in our hearts." When I was growing up, you know, I knew right from wrong, you know. When I came to know right from wrong, it was sin. Until then, I didn't know. I mean, as a baby and everything, I didn't actually know what was right and what was wrong. But as you get older and everything, you know what is right from wrong. And it's sin. And when you sin, your spirit dies. We all know that. We all know that. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Ezekiel 36:27 says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Amen. Now, you hear that last two words on that. It says, "And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, say it again. If you say and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Yes, we can all say, holler amen on that one. Did not our heart burn within us? See, the Holy Spirit is like a burning bush of old. It burned, but was not consumed. You remember back in Exodus chapter 2? We'll look at Exodus 3:2. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," talking about Moses, "on the backside of the desert, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. That's like we are. You know, when we first get saved, you're on fire for the Lord. I mean, I was. I couldn't wait to tell my family about it. I couldn't wait to tell my neighbors and everything else. I went across the street from me, and I went to all of my neighbors, and I told them about what had happened to me, that I'd gotten saved. Well, some of them looked at me like I was crazy, but then I got the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ, and had some of them got saved. I had a young couple that was lived right beside us that they got saved. I had an older woman and her daughter that lived across the street from us that got saved. But see, you're like this torch. You're on fire for the Lord. You're just burning up inside. You're just burning up inside. When you first got saved, you were like the torch here. But see, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, it will always be with you. You can't give it back. You can't sell it back. You can't trade it back. You can't get rid of it. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption. Doth not our heart burn within us? Oh boy, I'm going to tell you. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. My wife, she didn't get saved until about 6 months after I did. And she could not understand why I wanted to read the Bible all the time. I wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. I had to know more about Jesus Christ. We want the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But we don't listen to the Holy Spirit when he talks to us. We don't listen to him. I know I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it as any of the rest of it. I'm going to turn that thing off. It's noisy. I'm as guilty as anybody else is. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit dwelleth within you?" We need to listen to the Holy Spirit as it speaks to us. That's one of the biggest problems we have right now with the Christians here in this nation. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. They're led by the world. They're led by want and, you know, and just all this other stuff. They're not interested in listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit goes against a lot of things that they believe in, a lot of things that they do. And you're looking at a fellow that knows what he's talking about. I've struggled with the Holy Spirit many, 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 many times. The first time I ever really struggled with the Holy Spirit was when I got called to preach. I got called to preach I got saved in 1980, so 1983 I got called to preach. And I didn't want to preach. Hey, I had a ninth grade education. I quit school in the ninth grade. I've got a college degree now. I've got a college degree. but what I'm trying to say is, we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. God speaks to every person on the face of the earth. Do you know that? He speaks to every person on the face of the earth. He even speaks to the lost. Yes, I said he even speaks to the lost. He speaks to the lost when we tell them about Jesus and salvation. He speaks to them through the Holy Spirit. Hey, and when we go out soul winning, you better start begging the Holy Spirit power on your life. You better beg God to give you the Holy Spirit power that you can go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will go with you. But we have got to, we've got to beg him. Because, well, I say beg him. I don't really say that. We have to want it. We have to want it. You have to want it. It's not the lost person. Because God has found a person for you to tell about Jesus Christ. He knew you were going to talk to him before you ever talked to him. And what he's done there, he set everything up for you. It's all been prepared. All you got to do is open your mouth and tell them about it. I've walked by people, and I have felt the power of God telling me, you need to talk to them. You need to talk to them. And I've walked right on. And I hate to admit it, but I have. I've walked right on. If you are God's child, that means he's crazy about you. Yes, I said he's crazy about you. All that doesn't change because you do something stupid or do something terrible even. God's love is simply is. Did you hear what I said? God's love is simply is. It's there for you. His love, he loves you. I mean, he loves the lost people. He don't want to see anybody to see die and go to hell. He wants to see all of us to come, to repentance. God's love simply is. We can't sin it away. Our only option is to accept it or reject it. But he isn't cruel. He does love you. I mean, he loves you, whatever you do. That isn't dependent on whether you deserve it or not, but it depends on because you are a child of God. That's the whole thing in a nutshell right there. You are a child of God. That's what you call unconditional love. Unconditional love. The Spirit itself, let's see, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, you notice, the Spirit, that's capital S. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, that is small s. That's small s. That we are the children of God. Did not our hearts burn within us? When you first got saved, I'm going to tell you what. There was a burning in here. There was a hunger in here. It had to come out. I mean, you had to say something other about it. My family didn't like me. They didn't like me at all because I was a drunk. I mean, I very seldom ever took a sober breath. But after I got saved, my family didn't like me even worse. I mean, they didn't want nothing to do with me. Because you know why? I was telling them about Jesus Christ. Me and that lady right there, my wife, we took our kids and we started going to church. And it didn't make any difference if it's Sunday and we was over at Mom and Daddy's. We left to go to church. We left to go to church. We didn't let our family influence us. And my family didn't like me. They didn't like, what you doing? You got them kids tied up in a cult? I've heard all kind of stuff out of my family. I have. I've heard all kind of stuff. Did not our hearts burn within us? The Holy Spirit speaks to you quiet-like. You know that? Real quiet-like. Hey, is that little whispering that's in here that's telling you, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that. But see, that's where we don't listen, because it's that little quiet voice that is talking to us, and we will not listen. We won't listen to it. Maybe when you're home alone, or maybe when you're at a football game with all the noise and everything. There's all kind of reasons that we don't listen, but none of them are any good. None of them are any good. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, I shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Right here, that's what he's talking about. What I have in my hand, the Bible. He talks to us when we read our Bible. Hey, we if we read our Bible the way we should, and we study our Bible the way we should, and we memorize our Bible the way we should. Now, you heard what I said. Memorize. Memorize. Memorize verses. I used to go soul winning with Dr. Joe Boyd. And I've never seen a man. He had a stack of 3x5 cards about like that he'd carry around in his pocket all the time. He had memorized thousands of verses. He'd memorize it. Know what he was doing? He was translating them into Spanish, because he was going down into Mexico and he was preaching a lot. So he started, and then he was also going over into the Philippines. And so he started, in other words, on one side of it would be a verse, on the other side would be the verse in Spanish, I guess you'd say. So he did that, and I was amazed at what that meant. He, all the time, every time you see him, he'd be sitting there eating. He'd be sitting there eating. He'd have them 3x5 cards out in his hand, and he'd be reading them, and he'd be looking at them and memorizing them. I don't guess I've ever been out with anybody that's a better soul winner than Dr. Joe Boyd. I told him I wasn't going to go with him no more. He said, why? I said, because the Lord brings them to you. I have to hunt them. And that's true. He can sit down on a brick wall out in the middle of the street out there, and three people will come sit down by him, and he'll be able to tell them about Jesus Christ and win them to the Lord. You think I'm kidding? I've seen it done. Here I am knocking on doors. Knuckles are raw. Knocking on doors, had the door slammed in my face and everything else. And Dr. Joe Boyd goes over here. He says, I'm tired. He goes over here and sits down on a wall. And I turn around, I knock on the door and got this door slammed in my face, turn back around, and there he is sitting over there with three people. Got one on one side and another one over here. And he's leading them to the Lord. He's led them all to the Lord. I just told him, I said, I ain't going soul winning with you no more. I said, the Lord brings them to you, I have to hunt them. I have to hunt them. Luke 12:12, it says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. I know verses. I have memorized verses. And I'll be out talking to somebody or another, and all of a sudden that verse will pop up, and I'll say something other. I mean, it's the right thing to say. Right would be exactly what I need to say. And I'm thinking to myself, where did that come from? Where did that come from? It's that still, quiet voice that speaks to us. We just don't listen. You know, it's like, Ed Hawkins, why are you talking to the preacher like that? Where did that come from? Huh? Ed Hawkins, why are you looking at that woman like that? Where did that come from, huh? Ed Hawkins, why did you tell that lie? Where did that come from? Duh. That's the way we ought to be. Duh. Most of us ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us to read our Bible. The Holy Spirit tells us to pray. The Holy Spirit tells us to tithe. And what do? We tie a string around our purse and our billfold so we can't get in it. Hey, the Holy Spirit tells us to come to revivals. And what do? We stay home and watch TV. We have revivals, and we were having revivals quite a bit at one time. We stay at home and watch TV. And the Holy Spirit tells us to tell others about about salvation. You're not ashamed of it, are you? That's the whole thing in a nutshell. We're afraid. Hey, we let the world influence us. We ought to influence the world. And that's the whole nutshell with the Christians in this nation right now, is we're allowing the world to influence us instead of us influencing the world. And that's the way it should be. We should influence the world. The Holy Spirit tells us to go soul winning. If the Holy Spirit took a 2x4 and hit you upside the head, you'd only get mad. That's about the truth of it. That still, quiet voice. Did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? Does the Holy Spirit enjoy you, or does the Holy Spirit endure you? Ask yourself that question. Man, that ought to floor somebody. Ought to floor a bunch of us in here. And I'm as guilty as anybody else is. Does the Holy Spirit enjoy you, or does the Holy Spirit endure you? Is your heart like the burning bush, like this roaring flame? Is your heart like the burning bush, or is it so consumed with the things of the world that you don't know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Hey, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. But the world, we're so consumed with what's going on around us and everything that we don't understand when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Man, that right there, I mean, that's the way it ought to be. You ought to be on fire in here. You ought to be, you know, wanting to know more about the Bible. You ought to be wanting to tell others about Jesus Christ. You just need to listen to the Holy Spirit, that little still, quiet voice that comes to us and talks to us. If your heart is like a burning bush, you go, I said that. The devil knows you better than you do. You know that? The devil wants you to use this wicked mind of yours. He wants you to use this wicked mind of yours to fight him instead of this. Instead of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to use your own, this old wicked mind of ours, and try to fight him with it. You're fighting a losing battle, I'm going to tell you that, folks. You're fighting a losing battle. Where in the world are you going? How in the world are you going to have victory over the sins in your life if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his leading? See, that's the thing in a nutshell. We can have victory over all of this, over all of the things that go on in our life. We can have victory over, what I was saying there, you know, talking about the preacher and looking at women and telling lies and all that. We can have victory over all of this. All we got to do is take time and listen to that little still, quiet voice that talks to us. And like I said, if the Holy Spirit took a 2x4 and hit you upside the head, all you would do is get mad. That's all you would ever do, is just get mad at him. You know what the Holy Spirit battle is? It's winning a victory in you. That's the whole battle with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit battles against the devil to try to win a victory in you, to draw you closer to Jesus Christ. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Ask yourself, how bright does the Holy Spirit burn within you? Does the Holy Spirit burn like this? Is the Holy Spirit like that roaring flame? Or is the Holy Spirit like this flickering flame? Huh? Ask yourself. Is the Holy Spirit like this that's in you? Or the Holy Spirit like this? When you first got saved, you couldn't wait to know more about God. You hungered to know what was going on inside you. Now, we go out and we go soul winning. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. We go out and go soul winning. I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced it. And we tell people about Jesus Christ. And then we don't go back and disciple them. You ought to go back and encourage them to come to church with you. You ought to go back the Lord tells us, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in to his house. So that's what we need to do. We need to to go out there and grab hold of somebody another and love them. That's what need do. That's what God did to you. He loved you. What I said, God's love simply is. But you can't. You won't. We won't. You were like the burning fire. You were burn up if you didn't know more about God. You wanted to just burn up. Now that you've been saved a while, it's old hat. Hey, it's old hat. You are like this flickering flame here. Burn just a little bit like that. The Holy Spirit's still there. Hey, the Holy Spirit there is still there. Like I said, you can't get rid of it. You can't sell it back. You can't trade it back. You can't. There's no way you can get rid of the Holy Spirit once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're sealed to the day of redemption. But that Holy Spirit is like that in some of us. It's just a little flickering flame. Just a little flickering flame. You know, life is really about how we live between the Sundays. Do you know that? Oh, Sunday morning, we look good. We dress good. We act good. How do we live the rest of the week? How do you live the rest of the week? You know, we look good. We come here, we're on our best behavior. But when we leave here, how do we act? How do we dress? What do we do? What do we say? I know. If you listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can have life more abundantly. You hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Preacher stands up here and tells you about tithing and everything. And how the Lord's going to bless you for tithing. Do you believe it? Do you believe a word he's telling you?
Absolutely.
Huh? Some of us do. Yeah, some of us do. Some of us just, we don't understand it. I didn't understand tithing. Hey, I didn't understand it at all. When I first started tithing, I went to my preacher. He was in South Carolina. Hadn't been saved, but probably less than a year. And we pulled our boys out of public school. Church was opening a Christian school. I went to my preacher and I said, "Preacher, I said, there's no way I can put my boys in a Christian school. I can't afford it." He said, "Well, come on in here and let's sit down and we talk about it." So we talked about it. He says, "I tell you what you need to do." He said, "You need to move over here next to the church." So my wife went out. She found a house. What was it? Block from the church, right down the street from the church, in fact. Our boys could walk and go to school. Hey, but it almost doubled my rent. I was renting. It almost doubled it. I went back to the preacher and I said, "Preacher," I said, "now this is something not right here." He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "You told me to move over here." I said, "Now I'm paying twice what I was over there. How am I supposed to put my boys in a Christian school?" And he looked at me and he said, "I tell you what," he said, "you go ahead and enroll those boys in school. And you start tithing." I looked at him and I laughed at him. I really laughed right in his face. I said, "You're nuts, preacher." I said, "You expect me to move over here and I've doubled my rent. And then I'm supposed to put my boys in the Christian school, and then I'm supposed to start tithing." And he looked at me and he told me, he says, "If the Lord don't bless you, I'll give you your money back." Woo! I mean, he believed that much of it. He said, "If the Lord don't bless you, I'll give you your money back." I said, "I can't lose there. I can't lose there." So I started tithing. Within 2 weeks, I got a dollar on the hour raise. Within 2 months, I changed jobs and got another dollar on the hour raise. And then I got another dollar on the hour raise from that. Within probably 3 months' time, my salary and everything, I could pay anything, didn't I? I could pay my rent. I could pay for the boys in school, you know. Hey, Lord blessed. The Lord blessed. And that's what He wants for you. All you got to do is just, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit when He tells you. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Like I said, I believe, but no, I know, if you listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can have a life more abundantly. You ask your pastor. You ask your preacher. Brother Bush, I'm going to tell you what. Me and him will sit down in his office, and he has told me story after story after story of how the Lord has blessed him and his family. I mean, it's amazing. And that's the way it goes. The Lord just wants to bless you. You ask your preacher. He says, doth not our heart burn within us? Hey, that's what they're saying there is, the Holy Spirit got a hold of their hearts and they were burning because Jesus Christ was opening the scriptures to them and reading and telling them about the scriptures. That's what we have right here. You've got the Word of God. This book right here, you know what it is? This is God's love letter to you. Not only you, it's God's love letter to the world. What I hold in my hand. Man, it is precious. This book I hold in my hand is precious. God wants to use you. God just needs you to listen to that little still, quiet voice. Some of us in here have no idea what I've been talking about. Do you know that? Have no idea what I've been talking about because you're not saved. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. Maybe some of you have lied about your salvation. Maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you tonight, right here, now. Is the Holy Spirit talking to you about something other in your life? If He's not, there's something wrong with you. If He's not, are you listening to what the Holy Spirit's talking to you about? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right here tonight. You know, in 1 John 5:13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, that's all He wants you to do. He has written to you. He has given you the scriptures. He's given you to know what the Bible says, what He says, what God says, not me, not man, what God says you need to do with your life. What God says about salvation. How to be saved and how to, you know, go to heaven and everything. Romans 10:13, what does it say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, does it not? Huh? It's simple. It's simple. God's given you, hey, you got all the tools right here. You got the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You got the Bible. You got the Word of God. You got all the tools that you need. I use the word tools because, you know, I do work. I'm an electrician and heating and air conditioning and a little plumbing. I don't like plumbing. But all the tools you have. You have, it's like you've got a toolbox full of tools. But we won't open it. You've got a toolbox full of tools to do the job, but we just will not open it. I've got to hurry here. You know, Romans 10:9-10. I'm going to flip back here. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say you might be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, I can't do it for you. Your preacher stands up here and he preaches to you and he talks to you and he tells you what you need to do and how you ought to do it. And he tells you need to be saved. He tells you this in your life. And the Holy Spirit is that little quiet voice that's talking to you. I've got a feeling right now in here tonight the Holy Spirit is talking to a bunch of people. I really do. It's just simple. The Lord gives you all the what you need to do to get saved and have eternal life. I don't want to burn and go to hell. See, I was one of them fellows that the Lord snatched me out of the fire because I was going headlong. I was headed straight to hell just as fast as I could go. And the Lord reached down and snatched me out of the fire. And man, I've never got over it. Never will get over it. The good Lord wants you to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to just speak your word, preach your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict hearts tonight. Let's all stand and bow our heads.